Welcome back to Life with Brittany, a Peculiar Podcast. I am super excited to have our special guest today. I think he might have more projects than me. I don't know at this point. He's always doing something great, always supportive, doing big things. Happy to have him today. Please welcome DJ Spellman.
Thank you, madam. Thank you to you for having me on your platform. A little behind the curtain between us for your listeners. Yeah. You were actually the guest on me, my brother's Banks, and YBB podcast. So, you know, we're doing a show for show right now.
Yes, it's good to finally have you on. That was so fun being with y'all. So I appreciate the support as always.
No doubt.
Yes. So we're going to go ahead and get started. I have three segments for you today. And then, of course, little things like I do with everybody. So we'll start with you as the educator, you as the author, and then we'll finish up rounding that off with the businessman. Okay?
Sounds good.
All right. So let's dive right into it. I do have my notes, so you'll see me looking down from time to time to make sure that I stay together. So my first question for you, well, actually not really a question, just something I would like for you to do for us, is to walk us through your profession. I have you as a behavior modification technician. So if you can break that down, what that actually means and what you do.
All right. So, you know, for those listening, we are in Charlotte, North Carolina. So I work for CMS, which is Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools. And the role of BMT, behavior modification technician, is that individual that works with all students. Like, I hate the connotation that I only work with the bad students, which I do. And what is bad and what is good? Right, students who need more support. Yes, I'm definitely that person. But then the students that do well academically and behaviorally, I support them as well. But, you know, just putting it out there, I'm that individual that helps schools with their behavior management programs. I'm big into getting kids into the community, so building up their social capital. But of course, if students do need that extra support as far as compliance and behavior needs, yes, I will be that go-to person. But I really hate the stigma of when staff see me on their campus, they assume it's for a negative reason. I support all the students in the school district.
Okay, so I think we can kind of figure out what some of the negative or bad support would be, but what's some of the positive support that you give?
Oh, see, thank you for letting me really expound on that. But yeah. So there's some IB programs in CMS and they require different things for graduation. We have those programs all throughout. So some kids need amounts of service learning, you know, community service to graduate. So they tap in with me for that. So sometimes I had kids who have gotten in trouble that need to do hours because they're in trouble, then mixed in with the students that are just doing community service because it's a requirement. So they get to intermingle and then they kind of build and learn from each other. But that kind of support definitely helping some students get internships. So even beyond just the academic or just school in general, if they're saying, hey, Mr. Spellman, I'm trying to increase my employment or I'm just trying to do this. Okay, let me know your interest and I can make that connection because of all the good stuff that I do in the community. So man, the stuff that I do on a positive aspect far surpasses what I do as far as curtailing negative behavior.
Yeah, that's so good. So do parents or students just reach out to you, or does it have to be from a faculty or staff member or from the school? How does that work?
Anybody that, let's say they may know a student and they reach out, I'm gonna make that connection. Yeah. Kids know all day they can reach out to me. It doesn't matter. Email, phone, you know, pigeon. If they let me know that they're in need of support, then if I have their resource, I'm a link to it.
Yeah, that's so good to be able to have that resource. I didn't know that you did that. So that's good. That's
See, look, enlightening yeah. today. Enlightening.
Right. Very cool. So you talked about, I'm going to call it a challenge, is one, overcoming the stigma. And then, you know, some of the things that the students go through. Do you have any other challenges that you want to mention?
I mean, the biggest challenge is, and I don't even want to say changing the mindset of school staff or school leaders, but that is a challenge in itself when, you know, you're trying to do what's in the best interest of the student and you have the adults kind of not being able, we always talk about in education having a growth mindset. So there's this theory of neuroplasticity. So you can get new brain synapses and you can learn. The brain doesn't have to be what it is today. You can learn something tomorrow and your brain changes. So right. With that being said, there's some educators that look at some of our students like, well, they were bad last week or they were bad last year, and they can never rethink of that student in another way other than that negative time. So we want our students to have a growth mindset, but a lot of times I'm challenging the adults to say, hey, Barry White, practice what you preach. It can't just be the students having a growth mindset. I need you to rethink the way you look at this child, because you know they can grow too. Like, they're not going to be perfect. So one of the biggest challenges I have is with staff, to be honest.
It usually works out that way though. That's what it seems to be. How do you overcome that?
Being who I am, like my energy, you know me, so I'm very on it. So you can't sit here and tell me, oh, this kid is doing this. Okay, give me the data, or then show me what you've been doing with that student. How come I'm able to get the student to comply or to, you know, whatever? Okay, oh, because you're a Black male. No, because I build a relationship with a student. It has nothing to do with that, because I build the same relationship with Asian girls, with Latino boys. It don't matter. I call them my sons and daughters. So I will give you a perfect example. My first year in CMS, one of my first assignments was working at Hopewell High School. And I had two white sons. They were the kids that I connected with, because they didn't have nobody that poured into them the way I did. And so even the white teachers would ask me, how were you able to get those two? You know, they were friends. And I'm like, I just built a relationship with them. So when they hold me in a higher regard than you all, because you never built that relationship. So it has nothing to do with race. It's all about relationship and education, pretty much in life. You know, the people you have a better relationship with, those interactions are far more positive.
Yeah, that's so good. It's good to have a role model like that. And people don't understand, so much starts with just a simple conversation. You know, it's looking at the individual, not just, you know, trying to, like you said, 1 week they have a bad situation go on and then they still think they're a bad kid. No, that's not the case. Let's dig a little deeper. Why are they acting out? Why are they going through this? What's happening in their life? You know, building that, like you said, relationship. Super, super important. I think I can answer this question, but I know that's a rewarding component for you anyway, when you can, you know, build those relationships. But for you, what do you find rewarding in that position?
I mean, really, and it's funny, because I just talked to some college kids the other day and they asked me a similar question.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, the answer is going to be go for both sides.
Okay.
When you pour into a kid and you plant those seeds, the most rewarding thing is when it clicks and you see that change. Like, not instantly, but, you know, you give it a couple of weeks, a couple of months, and then you start to see that the kid really is, they have received the message that you put out there. Yeah. But then on the same side, you know, you might plant that seed and they might not sprout until 3, 4, 5 years later down the road. So you don't get to see that change. But I would say one of the most rewarding things is when you've really been pouring into a student and him or her makes that change, or you kind of see them mimicking your mannerisms, the way you do things, because you're the person pouring into them. But then outside of just in the school building, you know, I work for all the schools in CMS. So I'm all around the city doing a bunch of different things. So I love when kids see me outside of school. Kids might not like love me on campus, but when they see me outside of school, they're like, you know, mom, dad, they're telling their parents about me. That's that man I be talking about. He always dressed nice, but I'm usually shirt and tie on campus. Or the boys, they love to say, oh, you always got the wave. So when I had an interaction with their family members, like, yeah, my son or daughter always talks about you because, you know, you give them a positive word, or they always say you always hype and tell them to go to class. I'm like, yeah, that's me. That's me. So that's the rewarding thing. Like, you know, it might not be a monetary gain, but just those moments, it makes you feel like, yeah, what I'm doing is making an impact on these kids, like, for real.
Yeah, that's very impactful. How many schools do you cover?
So CMS has about 170 something.
Yeah, because when you said,
I work in my position, I work for one of the departments in the entire district. So I service all the schools. So, you know, at the beginning of the day, I could be at an elementary school. Let's say something happens and I may need to support a high school. So, I mean, it's not like that, of course, now because of COVID, but there's been times pre-COVID, I could hit anywhere between, you know, of course, one school to maybe 12 schools in a week, just based on the different needs of support. But I love that, to be honest, being able to interact with so many different kids and staff members. And it's just like me putting my energy out, hoping that both the students and staff receive a little bit of that, because I'm there to kind of boost the school climate as well.
Right. Never a dull moment for sure.
Oh yeah, gotta love it though. Gotta love it.
That's nice. Well, that's all I had for that position. Did you have anything else you wanted to add with that?
I mean, look, don't let people tell you wrong for your listeners about public schools, and specifically here in this region, CMS.
Yeah.
I am a product of Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools, Olympic High School 2005. So okay. It's all like, if you have good people, the environment will determine, of course, that's a much deeper issue. Who is in your environment? Who are your school leaders? Like, who are you spending your time with outside of school? All of that plays an important part as to how you will develop and grow as an individual. But yeah, I mean, it's public schools. I would send my kids to public school. I love CMS. I mean, it is what it is. You know, everybody's gonna have their own opinion. So, you know, do your own research in that.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's all about, you know, just being an educator myself. It's about who you surround yourself with. Like you said, in the school and outside of the school, you can always find somebody you can relate to. You know, yeah. Just being able to find that person means a lot and really can help you stay in school and be successful. So,
yeah. Very cool. I got to shout out Mr. O'Neill, man. He was my teacher at Olympic High School. He's now at Mallard Creek High School. Okay. But he's the best educator I've ever had in my life. And I've been to colleges. I talked to doctoral candidates and people with PhDs. He had the perfect combination of substance and relatability. So yeah. He was that person in my life and just kept me on that path. And even after I graduated, me and him still keep in contact. So
very cool. What did he do? Was he a teacher or just an administrator? Okay, what do you
do? He was a teacher. He did social studies, so he was my African American studies teacher. He did AP civics. He was that guy.
You had African American studies? Was it high school?
Yep.
Man, that's so unfair. I did not have that opportunity. It was just regular history. So
yeah.
That's cool.
Shout out Olympic. I guess back then it was progressive. So yeah, I definitely enjoyed the class, and with him being that the teacher, I want to call him professor, but him being the instructor, it definitely made it feel like higher level learning.
Yeah, very cool. Very impactful. Good stuff. Okay, so we're going to migrate over to you as the author, because you are, when did you publish your book?
So August 20th of 2020.
Yes, newbie. So that's good stuff.
Yes.
All right. So I'm going to ask you my first question. What inspired your book, Just Like Me, Social Emotional Learning Inspired by Hip Hop? What made you want to write that book?
And it's directly tied to what I do, you know, in my day job, quote unquote. Yeah. So if I'm that individual that is tasked with implementing these behavior management programs to the students, man, a lot of the students that I see are Black and brown, mm-hmm. yellow, you know, whatever, they're minorities. A lot of kids that, you know, get in trouble.
Yeah.
So I would have to take these programs created predominantly by white people and still have to remix it to make it relatable to my students. Mm. So the thing is that we're real big on is social emotional learning. And I would recommend and encourage anybody listening, anybody watching, to do your own research as far as social emotional learning, because if you acquire those skills, your life will be better tenfold. So self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, responsible decision making, and then relationship skills. We all could benefit from having those skills increased. Exactly. Not just students. So if I'm the individual doing these programs, and I have to keep pretty much doing extra work to make it relatable to my students, I said, why don't I just create something that I know that would resonate with them?
Yeah.
So I took hip hop, I took social emotional learning, and I took English language arts, and I created that book.
Yeah.
So it's a book, it's a student workbook, and it's a teacher's facilitation guide. So it's an entire curriculum that I created, and it's been well received. It has led to a lot of great opportunities. I can't even lie.
Yeah. I've read it and I've enjoyed it. It's so unique because I've never read anything like that. And I really like how you incorporate. Ooh, see,
nah, look, you hyping me up. Look, you the home. Why don't hype me up like that now? Come on.
Anyway. Look,
I'm a little dark skin. You can't see me blushing, but damn.
All right. No, it is good. It's so unique because I've never seen anybody incorporate music of any kind, you know, with the actual curriculum to make it make sense, make it relatable. I actually enjoyed reading it because as educators, we've, you know, I know you've read some stuff that was super dry and was like, okay, you got to figure out how to spice it up, but you don't have to do that with your book. It comes like that. So very good.
I appreciate that. That's a big up coming from a fellow author. So
I do want to, I'm going to read this exactly how I wrote it because I like how I wrote it. So I know. Do you feel incorporating music with educational principles could assist in making curriculum more relatable to students actually in the school?
100%. In education, we just have this underlying thing. Meet students where they're at.
Yeah.
If we do that, man, we can mitigate some all this, the BS, all the drama. So student, and this is the thing, people look at my curriculum, they look at stuff and they're like, well, this is only for, you know, Title I schools. And if you're unfamiliar, that's the schools that have a higher percentage of people living under the poverty line. Like we just talked about it earlier. Anybody, Black, white, Spanish, Asian, can benefit from increasing their social emotional learning skills.
Right.
So every student would need that. That's key. But then what is the language of the young people? It doesn't, once again, hip hop knows no color.
Right.
Everybody can appreciate hip hop. If there's a student on campus, they know some hip hop. And that's the thing. It's not even about listening to the music. It's about the lyric. Mm-hmm. The power is in the words.
Right.
So I take a lyric and then I make a whole lesson out of it. So everybody can relate to it. I've done it with kids of all colors and creeds. But of course, when you have the old curmudgeons with their old mindset, well, no, this is all you. This is only for a certain population of kids. No, this is for anybody. I've been working with affluent schools and organizations and the kids that don't have much, and they all are resonating with it because it's the power in the lyrics. It's the power in the lesson. You know, it's, yeah, to make a long answer short, yes, incorporating hip hop, incorporating music is that way to meet kids where they're at. And like you said, you don't have to spice it up. You know, it's there. It's really turnkey. So right. Kids are already like, dang, you got that lesson from this lyric. And it's like, I challenge them in the book too to find those kind of messages in the music that they like. Now I'm older than my students. So the artists I reference, they may not be too familiar with them, but then I challenge them to say, okay, if you like, you know, Pooh Shiesty, is there a way you can find the lyric and then relate it to one of these messages? So now I'm taking it deeper than just the book. Now we're building a relationship on a totally different level. And that's key as well.
Yeah, I mean, I love that I can hear the passion, you know, about it in your voice.
You know me.
That means a lot.
You know energy.
Yeah, for sure. I like what you said too, because I know there might be a facilitator or a teacher that might be like, well, I don't listen to hip hop, or I don't really know how to relate to that. How can I use this? It might be intimidating to them. They might, you know, when people think of hip hop, it's so bad, it gets a bad connotation. They think it's just a whole bunch of drugs, you know, talking about whatever and cussing and stuff like that. So the lyrics and the artists that you incorporate, most of those, which you can, of course, correct me if I'm wrong, most of them are pretty clean. And usually they're more, maybe not, okay, I see your face.
No, but.
I know they're like inspiration. The ones that I've read felt more inspirational or more like I could listen to this and not feel, you know, I don't know. Go ahead and shed some light.
So I'm going to just say this. So
yeah.
the first track, the first chapter in the book is Philadelphia. So a little background. Every chapter is based on a location, and the location is based off the artist that said the lyrics. So Philadelphia, most people would guess Meek Mill. So the song is Dreams and Nightmare, and everybody knows that song. Hold on, wait a minute. Y'all thought I was fit. So that song, of course, you would never play that in front of a group of students, but the line that I take and the way I connect it to social emotional learning, that's the creative part. That's the innovative part. So most of those songs, you would never listen to them with students, but there's that one line that is very positive. So that's the thing. And like I said, that, and I do get that a lot. They're like, well, you know, what about the misogyny and the drug references?
Yeah.
But if you read the actual chapter, there's never any profanity in the chapter.
Right.
You know, we touch on real things. Like one of my favorite chapters in the book was a song by Fabulous. So Fabulous is my favorite rapper for all who don't know. So he's in there about 3-4 times.
Yeah.
And the lyric in that chapter is, my daddy left me and he ain't even die.
Mm.
So if you marinate with that, ooh, that can get real deep. But then the way I connect the lesson is like, hey, there's strength. And even if somebody leaves you, there's greatness still inside of you. And that's one of the things, reoccurring themes in the book. Every chapter has that phrase. You have greatness inside of you, because I want that to be an affirmation for anybody who reads the book, student, young person, you know, young adult, older person, whatever. There's greatness inside of you. But then, like I said, That song, and that song is one of the more milder ones. But going back to that first chapter, that Meek Mill track talk about a lot of stuff, and I definitely enjoy it away from my students, but the lyric that I use from that song is so positive, and I relate it to a message, and it just, it takes it to a whole nother level.
Yeah, what I appreciate about the book is, even if, like, you know, most instructors or teachers, they already have their curriculum or their syllabus or whatever set for the whole semester or whatever the case may be, but you can pull apart different pieces of that social emotional learning within that book. You don't have to go through the entire book, even though it'd be great, you know, but they can still pick apart, like, if their students are struggling with self-awareness or struggling with some type of social emotional learning concept, they can just pull that and, you know, be able to incorporate that. So I really appreciate that about the book. That was good.
Yeah. And I think that's what we got to do more as educators, like interdisciplinary, like subjects, like, yeah. Okay, I might be the math teacher, but how can I, if I have you working in groups, now you're working on that social awareness, you're working with cooperation, and yeah. We're not as mindful as educators, because we're like, okay, well, I'm this is my subject, this is my content area, I gotta stick right here.
Yeah, I think that's good too, because just like you said, I forgot what your teacher's name that you mentioned. Was it O'Neill?
Mr. O'Neill.
Right. But just how he was teaching African-American studies and you just made that bond with him. It could be that math teacher or that English teacher or whatever the case may be that student relates to. And if they drop little things like that in there, that could, you know, build that relationship even more. And even with students. So that'd be good.
Straight up.
So last question about you as the author. Do you have, I think I know the answer, but I always want to ask anyway, do you have more books in mind, either in this format or in another format?
I mean, you know, as a creative, but as a person who, you know, feels like they're creative and, you know, likes to do stuff like this, I'm kind of transitioning. No, I'm still going to do more stuff in education, but I know I sent you something. Yeah. And, you know, mutual friend, Mr. Angelo Jeter, shout out that boy. Hey. I sent him a little piece that I've done that I've kind of been working on. So it might be even some poetry type stuff. I don't know. But I think I'm sure there'll be some more stuff coming out.
That's exciting. Yeah. I'm ready for you to drop that. That was going to be good.
And that's your lane. So yeah, I know you would appreciate it.
Yes. That's what's up. Good stuff. Okay. Last segment that we have before we get to little things, talking about you as the businessman. And honestly, I feel like you have so many more businesses in, you know, just because I know you and the type of person you are. We're going to just talk about the one that you have now. It is the Positive Archer Solutions. So tell us kind of how that came to be, what you do, and a little bit about that.
So that's pretty much just the educational consulting. Like, a good business person sees a pain point for their customer, and then you take care of it. So with Positive Archer Solutions, my flagship product is the book. So for any school, district, any organization that wants to increase social emotional learning or do some more culturally relevant teaching, they would reach out to me and we will work on what that looks like, whether they want to get the books or they want me to come facilitate or they want me to do professional development. And it's been nice, to say the least. I've been working with a lot of different organizations. I've actually just spoke to future educators at a HBCU in Austin, Texas. And I feel like that's going to lead to more opportunities like that. But then even bigger corporations, there's a big push for companies to do more with their diversity, equality, and inclusion. So DEI, if you're not familiar. And, you know, pretty much what social emotional learning is DEI in an educational sense, but it can translate to the workforce and just being more culturally aware. And just it's a lot going on, but it was just a need that I saw. And I feel like any person who starts a business has that mindset. Dang, you know, why is there not this thing? Like for Uber or for any of these businesses, why is there not this? Then they go and create it. And, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But as it stands right now, you know, things are going well. And I'm excited to see the growth of my company, my business, and especially with things opening up past the pandemic, being able to travel and do stuff on a much bigger scale.
Yeah, that's good. As you were talking, I was writing, so I wouldn't forget what I was going to ask you. Where did the name come from?
Ooh, see, nobody ever asked. So thank you for letting me go ahead and say it, but it's real simple.
Okay.
Positive. If you know me, y'all, the people who know me know what's up. Like, the energy is not inauthentic. Like, this is me every single day. I always tell people, you know, I almost passed away on a couple of different occasions, you know, earlier in my life. So every day that I wake up is extra credit because I feel like I'm not supposed to be here. So why not feel good? Why not elude positivity? Like, shoot, you could have been dead and gone. And you out here tripping off, you know, oh, they ain't text me back, you know, whatever the case may be. What you tripping for? Like, nah, you woke up, like, you still got life? Okay, things will get better. So positive, it speaks for itself. The archer part, I'm a Sagittarius. Okay. So if anybody knows Sagittarius, it's the archer. So positive archer, and there's a lot of issues out there. I got the solutions. So positive archer solutions, simple.
That came together quite nicely.
You know, once again, I'm a creative.
Don't do the air quotes. You are a creative.
No, because I hate when people say that, because people say they're creative and they could be doing nothing.
Oh,
like, you make an Instagram post, now you're a creative. No, I'm actually, like, I'm a real influencer. No disrespect, no shade. Like, I'm trying to change I'm trying to change people in general, but, you know, I have real influence out here if I continue to do what I'm doing.
Yeah, I love what you said, that every day is like extra credit. That's really, I like how you put that. That was good. That was good. So with positive archer solutions and just all you've been talking about, everything that you're doing is works together, which I think is really good. Why is it so important to change the climate in schools, and not just schools? You said this can transition to businesses and things like that. Why is it so important to change that climate and what we have right now?
I mean, you know, I make it a point not to talk too much politics, you know, especially on wax. Like, if it's in the privacy of your own home, you can really say what you want. But if we just look at the climate, and it's the thing, people talk about the previous president and how all of these things just started when he became the president. Like, nah, this stuff has been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years. So it's like, even if I can make a little dent in the structure, the old guard, and change something, like, I know we talked about on another occasion, I forget the young lady's name, but you know her name, and she talked about in her TED talk being a disruptor. And I was like, ooh, I fuck with that hard body. I don't know if I can curse, but I just did it. But
you're at home, go ahead.
I really am. Being a disruptor, like, that's looking at things from a different angle. That's being innovative. That's saying, why are we continuing to do things this way if it's not working?
Right.
That's the whole reason why I do what I do. If the shit is not working, why are we doing it this way? Why not try something else? Okay, if I try it, then this is the thing I would say to people that are disruptors. So my fellow disruptors, my tribe of people out there, when you're doing these things, make sure you're getting the documentation, because there's going to be certain population of people that are saying, well, you know, it sounds good, but where's the data?
Right.
Don't let that be a barrier. So get the data as well. Like, give them what they're asking for. And, you know, that's a little coded language, but you know who I'm talking about. When you have these great ideas and they want to put these barriers in your way, or have you go through this red tape, nah, you come correct the first time. So it's like, okay, red tape, I cut you down. Barrier, punch right through it. What you got to say now? Like, you come correct, can't nobody tell you nothing.
Facts. So good. So good. I don't have nothing else to say to that. You don't hit it hard.
Okay, we'll disrupt it. Like, we the disruptors. Like,
that's it.
Let's make sure we're doing it the right way. You know, get your LLCs in order. Get your intellectual property in order. Don't think just because you made a Facebook page or an IG page, you got a business. If you ain't send your stuff to the Secretary of State of whatever state you in, come on now. Like, we got to start doing it the right way. Like, that's how they've been getting us.
Yeah, seriously though, people really do think that's legit. It's like, that's a nice step, but let's finish. Let's, like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you need somebody, look, Bobby Robinson, we're gonna shout out the influencer attorney. He can get your trademarks, your IP done correctly.
Good. Let him know, okay?
Yes.
That's good, man. Good stuff. Good nuggets that you dropping.
That's what we do. That's what we do.
Anything else you want to talk about with your business? Where do you see it going? What would you like to see?
So this has been the vision from day one. I'm in a couple accelerator programs. So I have some mentors, and I really get mentors of my own too. Like people always ask, how do you have these mentors? I see somebody doing something that that I would like to do, and I email them.
Yeah.
And I harass them until they become my mentor.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me this the other day. This was an older person. I don't want to say it like that, but an adult. And they were trying to find some stuff for their son. Like, hey, is there any kind of networking events you can recommend? And I'm like, why would you send your son to a networking event with people his peers? He can't learn anything from his peers. Like a mentor has got to be somebody more experienced than you. Not to say you can't learn anything from your peers, because I've learned a lot from you. Like let me pull the curtain back a little bit. You helped me a lot before the book came out. You were very instrumental into me getting to where I'm at right now. So don't let me sell you short and say you can't learn from your peers, because you can, but
Thanks.
You can definitely learn a lot from somebody that's been doing it. They have more experience than you. Those are the people you really want to tap in and say, I need a mentor. But as far as the vision, the first Black-owned social emotional learning firm, like right now, you know, I'm a startup, but I want to get to that part where, oh, I'm respected by Castle, which is the major player and social emotional learning. They're looking at me like, we need to collaborate, or when we doing these research, like we need to tap in with you because you have the cultural relevancy. You're doing all these things in the community. So yeah, I want to be up there. Like, yeah, you always talk about Black ownership, you know, buying back the Block, you know, rest in peace, Nipsey. Mm-hmm. Everything needs to be vertically integrated. So everything comes from Positive Archer and it branches out to these other things. Yeah, that's what I want. That's what I want. And no, that's what I'm striving for.
Yeah, that's a good look. It's happening. Yeah. I mean, you got it.
Yeah, you know me. You know I'm good. You know me, I do.
Good stuff. Wow. I'm so proud. I don't know. I am. I'm so proud of you because you are one. You know, people talk about a lot of stuff and never do it. You literally, everything you talk about, it gets done. So, yeah.
But see, but that's the thing. And I know we've had meetings and we're trying to get you better on some things as well. But it's like, the acronym, and I just said this earlier today. So I'm a former 215-267 resident. So for people that don't know, that's the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. So there's a guy that a lot of people know. He's big on social media. He does a lot of good stuff, Nehemiah Davis. Mm-hmm. And I heard one of his talks, and he used this acronym for NOW. So, you know, NOW. No opportunity wasted. And I feel like people will always put something off like, oh, they got this email. Oh, I'll email them back, you know, later. And then it just prolongs things. So if you adopt that mentality that no opportunity is wasted, if you send that email back, then it's like, boom, that's one, a task that's off your list. Then you can do something else. And I'm all about being productive. Like at the end of the day, when I hop into bed, I'm like, damn, I got a lot done.
Yeah.
And now if you look at the end of the week, every day you treat it like that, it's like, damn, for this week, I got a lot done. And right. Just watch how productive you are. Watch how the length of time it takes to reach your goals reduces because you're not procrastinating, or you're not to say anything wrong with watching TV and, you know, doing what you do, because you need those things for balance. But I feel like there's a lot of times we miss opportunity by just not even I'm not going to say being lazy, but not looking at this moment right now that we have is an opportunity not to be wasted.
Oh yeah. We get caught up in the binge watching and just, you know, life itself is, like you said, it's a good balance, but when that starts to outweigh the productivity, then yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. And then when you say like you said, you were alluding to it earlier, people say they want to do all these things.
Yeah.
And then you circle back with them in a couple months and it's like, okay, where are you with these things that you said?
Right.
Oh, well, all these excuses. And
yeah.
One of my coaches once said, excuses only satisfy those who make them. Yeah. So your excuse ain't doing nothing for me.
Facts. That's true. Yeah, I'm definitely, I'm one of those people who buy calendars and never write in them. So my point, I was like, I'm not making no other goal for 2021, but I'm writing in my calendar and actually using it. And so that's what I've been doing to be more productive. And like you said, it's nice when you lay down, it's like you're tired, but you've got everything you need to get done for that day. And you know, you're going to have a good end of the week and been productive. So it's important to do that.
I want to piggyback on something you just said, though, writing it down. Like, people don't understand. There is a different kind of energy transfer when you write something down on a piece of paper. Like, I know, you know, tech, where this is the technology age, the internet age, but when you get that that pad and that pen, and you write it down, like it connects to a different part of your brain. And even if it's something as simple as journaling, there's something therapeutic in writing it down. Like we overlook these things, and we need to stop. We really do.
Yeah, it does make a difference. When people start to do that, you really can see it. Like I have reminders on my phone, but I write everything else down. It's been more impactful that way.
Yeah. It's power.
Right? Okay. Okay, then. I don't have anything else for that. Any other last thing you want to talk about with your business?
As far as the business, Positive Arches Solutions, the website is coming out soon. Shout out my boy Dre out in B-More. He's my website builder. He's taking care of things. I know I've been dealing with this for a minute, and we finally getting things together.
Good. So where can they find information about now?
Okay, they can definitely hit me up on my IG. It's my personal. I have a Positive Archer Instagram account, but most of the stuff that I'm doing is just on my personal, because it's really my brand as well. So Mr. Happy, people going to look at it and pronounce it wrong, but it's MRJAPPI. So I grew up Latino, so Spanish J. So when you see Jose, you don't say Jose, you say Jose. So it's Mr. Happy with a J and an APPI. Yeah, but they can tap in with me, positivearcher@gmail.com. If you just want to like pick brain, we can do that too. I do that as well. Like I have a lot of good information, and it doesn't serve me just to keep it. So if you're thinking about getting into that space, you want to do some more stuff in the community, I know a rack of people that you can tap in with. It's nothing.
So true. You know everybody. Like you know a lot of people. Which is a good thing. Yeah.
Network. Build your network up.
Yeah, for sure. Good stuff. Okay. So we are going to migrate to our very last section, which is pretty much my favorite, because I like to learn little things about people. I feel like it makes us who we are. And actually, we're just going to transition right into what you just said a second ago, because I was going to ask you, how do you pronounce this? Because I didn't know. So my first little thing is, where did the name Mr. Is Happy?
Yeah.
Come from? Where did that come from? Because I was about to pronounce the J for short.
Yeah. So it came out of a drunk night, to be honest.
Okay.
That's really it. Like, but with me, I got a bunch of different nicknames. That's one of many nicknames.
Okay.
But like I said, just growing up Latino, and it just stuck, like Mr. Happy, but then wanting to change the way it looked.
Yeah.
So the JAPPI was just a thing, and it just stuck. Like I said, one of many nicknames, but Mr. Happy. I know some people do say Mr. Jappy. It's whatever. I am who I am. So Mr. Happy is really what it is. But then Mr. Jappy, people call it. But it came from a drunk night.
So tell us just a little bit, because you got London in the background. You just talked about growing up. Let's see. Just what? Give us a little bit about your background.
Okay, so Mr. Happy is one nickname. So the nickname that most people who know, is like, Pusha T said, if you know. Yeah. World Famous is my official nickname.
Okay.
So in Spanish, it's Mundo Famoso. But then most people just say Famoso or Famous. I get Famous a lot, Mundo Famoso, Famoso. So you got London in the back, because I was born in London. Okay. The accent is long gone, as you can tell. But if the accent was still here, it would be a problem. For all the young ladies out there, it would be a problem, but I digress. So me, all my siblings were born outside the continental USA. Okay. So me and my sister were both born in London, England, Stratford to be exact. And that's where they had the 2012 Olympic Games. Okay. In my little section of London. So, I like Drake said, hardly home, but always repping. So I'm always repping for the UK. I still tap in with their music scene. I just keep up because it's a part of me. Like, I live a good percentage of my formative years there. So it's a part of who I am. Yeah. But then my only other brother was born in Guam. Wow. And Guam is like it's a U.S. territory, but there's a lot of Asian influences there. So I've grown up with every section, but then just a lot of Latinos everywhere I've been. I dance it, like everybody knows me as, that they call me Dominican. My Spanish friends say, you're not black no more, you're Dominican, because I could dance bachata really good. So that's like one of my secret skills. And if you don't know bachata, just Google it, YouTube it. It's a nice dance that Latinos do. As a matter of fact, it's really taking over the world. They have bachata contests all over the planet right now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, I mean, but just growing up Latino, like I do a lot of Spanglish just because of of that. I'm just very cultured. Like I love my upbringing because of all the cultural influences. You know, I know a lot of the nicknames for different, you know, Spanish countries, a lot of the nicknames for different Asian countries. It's just, it's family. Like, you know, I'm of that mindset of that Tupac lyric and the song he had with Bone Thugs. It sounds a little morbid, but I'm going to explain it.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, we all going to die. We bleed through similar veins. So if we bleed through similar veins, it doesn't matter. You're black, white, you know, Asian, Latino. We, that blood is all red. So we're all humans. We're all people at the end of the day. So yeah. I like to focus on the similarities, like what brings us together, then point out those obvious differences like that. That doesn't serve anybody.
Yeah, that's so good. That makes you super diverse and very relatable to anybody having that. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Do you ever want to go back and live anywhere else outside right. the United States?
I mean, I want to go back and visit London for sure. Like, I want to connect. Like, I just feel in my being, when I go over there, it's going to trigger some memory or something. Because, yeah. you know, I was there for like 5-6 years. Like,
yeah.
I was there for a good portion of time. And then, you know, was going all over the world. So I think I definitely want to go back. Of course, this is just me being a personal reason. I would love to try to get my accent back because I had it coming over to the States.
Yeah.
I just feel like, yeah, if I had my accent, it'd be a wrap.
Yeah. I mean, all you have to do is go over there for a couple of months. It'll come back. So
that's what they say, but you know, who knows? Like, because yeah. a lot of people assume that I'm from New York, which I love New York. I got love for New York, but if I'm going to rep anything up north, it's going to be Philadelphia because I lived there for a couple of years. So big up the city of brotherly love.
Sounds good. Yeah, you can definitely hear. I get the New York vibe too. So
yeah, and that's the thing. When I tell people, you know, I've been in Charlotte for a long time now. Like,
yeah.
For a long time. They're like, you're not from Charlotte. I'm like, I mean, it's home, but yeah, I'm not born and raised here.
Right. Yeah. Interesting. That's a lot. Yeah. Good stuff though. Good stuff. Yeah. So my next little thing is, and we talked about this briefly when I was figuring out what to ask you, this just popped in my head. So I don't remember what we were talking about, but you had mentioned that you played football in college. And I was like, oh, who knew? So tell us a little bit about that experience, what college you played for, how long you played, did you play in high school, a little bit of background with that.
Yeah, so that's the thing, like when people see me now, even though yesterday I got back on the flag football team, we won. So I was the athlete. Like, I was the smart jock.
Okay.
I played football, basketball, baseball, soccer. I played sports all of my life.
Yeah.
And was still in, you know, the advanced classes. Like, I was a smart jock for what it's worth. But football kind of took over in high school. So I mean, not to sound conceited or whatever, I never played JV. So my freshman year in high school, I made varsity and I just stayed playing varsity. And that really stopped me from playing any other sports. My father's still mad at me because he feels like if I would have stayed playing baseball, I would have made it to the league. I love baseball.
Wow.
That's probably my most favorite sport. But football just did something for me. Like, and I kind of made it my own. So, yeah, I got a full ride football scholarship to Virginia Union University. So a HBCU, a CIAA school. Out in Richmond, Virginia. So I went from the 704, and Richmond is the 804.
Okay.
So I went from the 704 to the 804.
Yeah.
And I mean, I loved it. It taught me so much. Of course, going to HBCU is a great experience in itself. Like, you know, I don't know what it is to go to a PWI. I don't think I would want it any other way. I love my experience of going to HBCU and just all that's worth. But then, you know, being an athlete, a student athlete, time management definitely got to be on point because you got to make sure your grades is up, you're staying up there so you can stay eligible.
Yeah.
But all of that just helped me into what I'm doing now, like molding me, time management, like taking care of stuff, like being on it, like all the time, like not just being on it as far as your classes, but if you're playing a sport, you don't want to just be out there getting, you know, killed. You got to be on it in your specific sport as well. So it just kind of takes you to a higher level if that's what you aspire to be. Like, I don't think anybody goes into, they say they want to do something, they do it half-ass. You want to give it your best. So it kind of, you kind of learn about yourself when you're trying to get to that high level into whatever you're doing. It doesn't just have to be athletics, but if you say you like with your situation, you're a writer. So you kind of got to mold yourself to be the best writer that you want, the best writer, best author. So yeah, it just helps us take ourselves to a whole nother level when we have goals that we set out for ourselves.
Yeah, that's good. Just for a second, I just want to pull apart what you said about HBCUs being so impactful. You wouldn't have any other way to go to that school. What was something that was, I guess, monumental to you about an HBCU? Like, what made it like, you know, this is where I need to be at?
It's just, I mean, of course, you know, I'm of that age. I'm 34. You know, the listeners probably be different ages, but
yeah,
you know, the shows like A Different World, and just when you see shows like Martin, and you see them have those HBCUs on, like they were very intentional with that. And I know for our generation, I'm sure subconsciously we caught that. You know what I'm saying? We caught those little subtle, like, you know, Fresh Prince, like all those just Black excellent shows, and it's like, yeah, I want that too when I get older. Like when I'm able to go to college, the way I saw these shows, I want that same experience. So yeah, I mean, just that, like seeing a bunch of people that look like you excelling academically and just doing a bunch of great things. It's like, you know, of course, some people have a perception of what they would consider a Black person is, but you know, right. We know the truth. Like, yeah, we got the people that do crazy stuff, but then we got some people really excelling and everybody in between. Like, I'm not taking anything away from anybody.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You, my people, like you, we doing it for all of us. So just to be in that environment and it just helped mold me who I am. Like, I tell people all the time, HBCU, Virginia Union, I say it all the time. Yeah. Whenever I get the opportunity, Virginia Union University. Yeah,
I went to PWI, but I would love to have gone to an HBCU. I'm still thinking about maybe if I could be an instructor there. I think that'd be kind of cool just to be on that side of it. So I always like, I have a couple of friends that went to HBCU, so I always like to hear, you know, the insight about it. So very cool.
Yeah, just, man, just, it's something, I mean, anybody who's been will say the same thing.
Yeah, y'all and, do.
Yeah, it's just that, just being in that environment is something special. When you see people that look like you excelling and just doing great things. And yeah, of course, you know, the parties is not to be trifled with either. Like we party better than anybody. Like, you know, so you get the whole aspect. Like, yeah, you really become your own. Of course, in college, you really are becoming who you're going to be. So, you know, why not do that in an environment that's more comfortable for you?
And, you know, people say that that's a setback because it's not necessarily preparing you. But I'm like, I think that actually gives you the confidence to be able to go in any atmosphere. That's just my view of that. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. And then even if people say that, not to say that you're going to get everything from your HBCU.
Right, right,
there's
right.
always got to be a sense of self-education. So
and that's
the part. Yeah, that's the part people like they don't take as serious that, yeah, I've gone to this university or whatever you're doing in life. But there still has to be a good amount of self-education on your end on whatever it is, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true. It can't just be, I mean, that's like you said, that's in any capacity. You know, you have to stuff that you have to figure out yourself and learn yourself, too. So both go hand in hand, I think, to make you who you are and develop who you are.
Yeah.
So my last question for you is about your podcast. So you're one of the hosts for Jack of All Spades, which is a great podcast. Love you guys. How did you all get started and what can your listeners expect when they tune into you all?
All right. So first and foremost, got to shout out the brothers. Got to shout out the team. Come on now. So you got Banks on the beat, Blue Water Banks, my boy Lloyd Whitfield. You got the Pride of Africa, Ken YBB. Shout out. Well, both day to the Cognilese people all across the world. We got our boy Jay Marlo behind the camera. And shout out Jay Marlo. He's doing a lot of work at Tyler Perry Studio. So he big time. Then we got a new family member that kind of fills in when Marlo's not around. And he's probably going to be doing stuff just moving forward. But Darius as well. So I would be remiss if I ain't shout out the team before I talk about it, because it's the combination of all of us. Without the team, there would be no podcast.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, it's been going well. to say the least.
Yeah.
How it started really was through a kickball game, as you were an attendee. So yeah, we were always just trying to think of ways to do different things around the city. Like, and while BB will always say, like, man, he's just so happy that we're actually doing it now, because we were talking about it for so many years.
Wow.
So it started out with the kickball. We did it maybe a couple times a year. And then it just kind of progressed, like, yo, let's do something else. Like, let's do more. And we were just trying to find a lane. Was it going to be, we didn't want to really do party promotion. Like, everybody's doing that. So we were just trying to find our own little lane. It's like, yo, let's do this podcast thing.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, when it started, it's not what it is now. We had to go through some growing pains to really narrow down the lane that we wanted. But I think we've settled on a great place with the podcast. So when you ask, what can people expect? We highlight others, like we build community, like we highlight people, and we say we highlight the hidden gems, but really not everybody who's been on is a hidden gem. Like, they're known, but it's just maybe we're just putting, giving them a platform to talk about all the wonderful things that they're doing. And we have a very thorough research team. So we get answers and responses that you're not going to get from a typical podcast, because we really do our homework and we kind of just tap into whatever's going on with that individual. I love the moments when we ask the guests a question and they're like, how did you know that?
Yeah.
Those are the moments I live for on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Because if you've listened to one podcast, you've listened to a bunch, and you really hear the same kind of questions being asked. So we definitely wanted to go against that grain. Like, okay, well, tell, how did you, nah, we not with that bullshit. We want to ask some very, you know, thought-provoking questions or really touch you on your heartstrings. If we know, like, I'll just use an example with you. If we know, you know, you had to sell your dog at age 6, I don't know how we find out that information, but we ask that question, you're like, oh my God, like, poodle, like, you know what I'm saying? We live for those moments where, you know, it's just different and it's real,
mm-hmm.
you know? And yeah, we just really bring building community. We've had, and we make it a point, and I mean, I don't think a lot of people want to say this, but we brought on a lot of women. We're three dudes, no, three as the host, but
yeah,
we brought on a lot of women and highlighted them. Like, we just bigging up our women. Like, we know, we realize we got to do more for our Black queens, and it's just queens in general. Like, men in general got to do better for the women, but we three Black men, we're gonna big up the Black queens, and we've really done a great job of that, and people, they take notice, and man, we just fucking love it, to be honest. Like, we love highlighting and just bringing the light to others, and then we love when other people listen and they tap in. We had Miss Brooke, man, she does photography, so shout out her.
Yeah.
One of our guests, China, who does a lot of fitness stuff, she did a prayer to close out the episode.
Yeah.
Miss Brooke hit up China saying, hey, can you send me that prayer? Because I want to start doing that with my family. And just,
that's so,
man,
good.
That had nothing to do with us.
Yeah.
That was the connection between them. But right, we were just able to create that moment. So shit like that is up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we just really, man, we just try to find different individuals or individuals that typically wouldn't get that shine, because of course everybody wants, you know, whatever, the rappers, or everybody wants the person that has a million followers. That's cool, they already have their platform, but let us help somebody else. Like, let's reach back down and pull somebody up. Not to say they may be put up, but you know what, they might not be getting the press that they deserve, but they still have a great story, mm-hmm. and somebody needs to hear it.
Yeah, that's so good. And I mean, you don't like to use hidden gems, but for somebody who's, you cover a lot of people that's in Charlotte too. And so for me, who's somebody new to Charlotte, y'all are exposing me to a lot of people that I didn't know existed. So you really do pull a lot of people in, and it's great to see, you know, like I said, like you said, of course, the Black queens love to see us. That's a great feeling. But you also, I mean, just different types of people, the businesses, the things that they offer. It's such great insight. And you all are a trip with the questions and just the vibe that you have. So you're doing good things for sure.
We appreciate that. So everybody listening to this podcast,
yeah,
the homework is to go tap in Jack of All Spades CLT on IG, Jack of All Spades on Apple, Google, all of that. Just tap in. What is the first episode you should listen to is Brittany's episode. But you know what I'm saying? Tap in with us, man. We show love. Like, our little tagline is talk to us, we talk back. That's what we're about. Just continue to build.
Yeah, I will say, like, so the Jack of All Space podcast is the first podcast I've ever been on. I was super nervous because even though I talk all the time, you know, I teach communications, it's different when you're in that hot seat. Like, okay, I want to sound good. I want to make sure, you know, all these things going in my head. I felt so at home, and it was just such a good feeling, and just to be able to have that conversation, just expose people to what I was doing, and it was such an honor. And so I appreciate you fellas for doing that. And then y'all are so supportive. Every week y'all are shouting out somebody. And so, you know, we definitely see that. So not just me, I know other people see that too. So definitely keep doing what you're doing with that. It's been great, one, to be a guest, and then also to be a listener too.
We appreciate it. But just about that too, because it's like, how much does it cost anybody to shout somebody out?
Nothing.
You know what I'm saying? And people even ask us, they're like, yo, how much did this business pay you to do this? Like, no, it ain't pay us. Like, we just did it for the love. Like, I know that's rare. That's an anomaly. People just doing things like that without wanting anything in return. Like, yeah, we are a little bit different. We just big up the good energy. Like, yeah, we just try to bring value to others. Like, I don't even want to sound too savvy, but yeah, we try to bring value to others. I mean, eventually it'll work out. Like, the good energy you send out will come back. Like, we're not selfish. We're selfless a lot of the times. Yeah. We're going to keep doing this shit. Like, we're going to keep sending out good energy.
Yeah, keep doing it. We're listening. We're enjoying it. So yeah, that is all that I have. Is there anything else? Yeah. Is there anything to talk about? Well, go ahead.
No. I'm waiting for that super exclusive question. You know what I'm saying? How we go deep for the people at?
I don't have anything else. You feel free. The platform is yours. If you want to say anything, you're more
than welcome. Protect the innocent. Look, if it's a question. If it's a question, I definitely answer, but I'm not offering up no free, like some juicy stuff.
Okay, that's cool. Well, I want to thank you, DJ, for coming on. People don't know, like, you, one, you're super supportive of most of everything I do, just about everything I do. And what you don't support, I'm not going to say interrogate, but you get to the bottom line. You do, like, you'll ask me hard questions, and I'm like, you know what, I really wish you wouldn't have asked me that, because I was doing just fine. But then when I sit back, I really need to dive deeper. So I always appreciate the conversations that I have with you. You help me stay on task. You're my accountability partner, even if you don't know it. And so I always appreciate that.
Nah, it's love. It's like, I really can't say it no other way than this. When people send out good energy, you want to keep those people around you. So, Of course, when we met at the kickball thing, you say you were an author, or we just tapped in, we found out you was an author. Shit, we need to have him on the podcast. Yeah. Then I was on my journey, and I'm like, well, shit, I can learn. That's the thing. People don't want to learn from others. They think they know it all. Nah. I was like, you have information that can serve me. You can help me. Yeah. So then we just kind of built it from there. But yeah, you know, trying to get your schedule straight. Like, yeah, you be saying some shit. I'd be like, nah, I don't fuck with that. Like, right. I'm like, yeah, but it's like, it's an energy transfer. Like, you help me. Like, you'll help me think about things in a different way. And I'm sure I know I've done that for you. But it's just good energy.
Yeah, it's all good. I appreciate you for sure. And thank you for coming on my podcast. It means a lot. Finally was able to get you on here. So that's good. Well, thank you, Life with Brittany and Peculiar Podcast listeners. That is all that we have for you today. Oh, wait, before we go, you said your Instagram, right? Do you have Facebook?
I have Facebook, but I'm not that active, so I won't even say it.
That's great. So the website is coming, and so when you get that, I'll definitely promote that for you as well. You did say your Instagram, your personal Instagram, and Jack of All Spades, right?
Yeah, so they can, if you go to Jack of All Spades CLT on IG, it has all our handles, but mine is Mr. Happy, and that's MRJAPPI. That's my personal. You can tap into all the stuff that I'm doing, you know, good energy all day. But yeah, Jack of All Spades, you can go to Positive Archer CLT. It's just a little bit of stuff, but as I continue to grow, I'll be doing more from that. I need to get a social media person because I mean, you know.
I know how that goes. Yeah.
All that good stuff.
Great. All right, y'all. Until next time. Bye. Yeah.